In the South African and African context, the role of entrepreneurship is critically important in unlocking the potential of the different nations. Where economies are still in the early stages of development and vulnerability due to exogenous shocks are more acute, entrepreneurs need an abundance of support to flourish, especially when times are tough. Today, we are speaking to Professor Motsidisi Matibe, Associate Professor at Gordon Institute of Business Science, about inclusive rural entrepreneurship through community-centered innovation. Professor Matibe, how can rural communities identify and leverage their existing local assets to create viable entrepreneurial opportunities?
I would start by saying first, you know, sometimes how we need to approach the rural areas or the rural communities and entrepreneurship, we have to begin by seeing what already exists. And sometimes or often we approach development from a deficit mindset where we focus on what is it that the communities in or the entrepreneurs in the rural areas lack, instead of how we can then look at the asset-based approach, looking at the natural resources that they have, the human capital they have, the social capital they have. So in terms of identifying and leveraging from the existing local assets, we need to actually look at what is it that the communities do? What do they have? For instance, a community may have agricultural knowledge, how agricultural heritage, or maybe a social network. And that's what we need to use in terms of leveraging. And I'll give an example. There's a story about the cell phone story in Ghana where the communities were partnering with the NGOs. Right. So the NGOs offered a community leader a cell phone to communicate to them to say, OK, they were doing the agri farming. So the leader would then use the cell phone to report back to the NGO as this is how far we are. This is how the community is doing. What the NGO didn't realize is that there is no electricity in the rural area. They had given the leader a car battery to charge the phone. So the community leader, what they did, they opened a business with that because they realized, okay, people in the rural areas have cell phones, but they don't have the charging station. So what happened is instead of using that only to communicate the report back to the funder, this leader opened a business where they then charge the communities around their phones and with a fee. So it says to me, this is where the problem was. Where they came and say, we're going to offer you the farming for the communities, instead of saying, what exactly is the community lacking? At the time, the community was lacking the energy to charge their phones to be able to communicate with the outside world. And if they seen that, they could have made double impact in that community.
So you do often see that mismatch.
Yes.
Absolutely. So you see that mismatch against what people believe is necessary and what the community actually needs.
Yeah. And the whole point is to come up with the asset-based mindset and say, we are here to help, but we cannot just say, this is the help that you need. We need to have to be able to discuss, to be able to co-create with you as the local or the rural entrepreneurs. Now tell us what is it that you need. Then we can tailor our support, our resources to your need as the rural entrepreneurs, rather than just pushing into your throat. This is what we think you need. So that is that. So we need to, in order to match the need with the support, there has to be a co-creation.
Now, if we look at that co-creation, once we've escaped from that deficit mindset, and having identified the local assets, what does co-creation look like? What forms of training, or even better, probably mentorship, is most effective for empowering entrepreneurs in rural asset areas to use their local assets?
Good question. So as I said, when I teach in class, I always say to my students, you're bringing some sort of wisdom, you're bringing some background. I'm not going to assume that you don't know entrepreneurship at all, because it's your everyday life. So it's the same thing. With entrepreneurs in the rural areas, we do know that they are already having something that they're doing. For instance, we must train, think about the contextual, the experiential, and the continuous training. What is it that you're bringing? Our everyday theory base is not going to help. We need to kind of work with the best community-based learning hubs. And what am I saying by that? So mentorship should blend local wisdom, and it also bring external exposure. For instance, experience with community-based leaders, and we can also look about linkages to markets, to investors and academia as well. And at the heart of it, empowerment comes not from the telling entrepreneurs what to do by co-creating solutions with them. And in that way, I'm thinking of an example about in a company in the East Africa. It was a village enterprise. It happened, they implemented this in Kenya, in Uganda, and in Rwanda as well, where a small group of local entrepreneurs, we meet weekly to share experiences, challenges, and business insights. So each group was supported by a local business mentor who speaks their language and understand their local realities. How they did not bring your theoretical frameworks. What they did was to blend the storytelling, the role play, and the problem solving instead of heavy theory. So in that way, the entrepreneurs were able to learn from each other and understand that I'm not the only one going through this challenge. Another person is going through that challenge as well of running the business. But however, I'm also learning as to at what extent and what are they doing to solution for this problem that they're going through. Not only that, we have another example of mentoring and training where Cherie Blair Foundation partnered with Gibbs Business School, offering a venture app. This app works as it works as they teach entrepreneurs the marketing, the basic pricing, and how to keep records. So entrepreneurs can just download the app. So the app kind of works as a digital mentor to the entrepreneurs, and it also helps to also digging resolve solution for the digital divide in the rural areas. There's no person that can go sometimes to the rural areas is a bit far, and they can't go and mentor the entrepreneurs. So now Cherie Blair with in partnership with Gibbs, then they then developed this app that was able to then help entrepreneurs in the rural areas to use it as to a guide as to how do I price my product, how do I market, how do I access markets outside the rural areas. So it's not only the mentorship in terms of a human being, but it can also use the app, the digital apps to help the entrepreneurs in the rural areas to run their businesses. And it's already happening, as I brought two examples. It's already happening. It's only as to how do we then have more of these mentors or mentorship programs that can help entrepreneurs in the rural areas.
It's absolutely fascinating how these new methods of technology can assist with that co-creation. But my next question actually revolves around one of the assets that a community already has, faith, shared values, and community trust. How can that strengthen rural entrepreneurship ecosystems?
That is even more interesting. Because you're thinking, it's just faith-based and people go to churches or they are religious-based, and that's it. But we tend to kind of also not take into consideration or not take seriously the fact that this is where we build trust. This is where we get to know who is who. And if we use the faith-based leaders or community leaders in other spaces, we can actually help to bring responsibility and accountability. For instance, and also because now the faith, I will speak to the pastor, for instance, because yeah, it's easier to say that. Let's talk to the pastor who knows the congregations and they know how they do their work, how reliable, how responsible they are. So if you are a business, for instance, and you want to start you want to come and have your business in this community, or you want to you to bring some sort of a project in the community, then you can work with the pastors. They will tell you, they will vet the community and say you can work with one, two, three, or you can work with so and so because I know them. They're integrity, they're responsible, they are so and so. That's how they are. And how these ecosystems work. I also have another example where in Rwanda, there's an energy company that help the people in the rural areas. It's called Pay As You Cook. guest model. So in rural areas of Rwanda, you find that people mostly rely on coal to make fire and to cook for their house. And you know the coal still has health risk, environmental damage, and financial burden on them because they need to go and find the coal or buy the coal, and sometimes it's expensive. So how this company did was to come up with something called clean cooking innovation, where they provide the cylinder, smart cylinders, to the communities. And it works as a prepaid. They give you a smart cylinder. The technology is connected to your smartphone. As you pay the smartphone, you buy a prepaid gas, and it immediately switches off. As when the gas goes off, when the amount that you paid is finished, then the gas automatically switches. And you ask yourself, how do they vet the people? Because now they don't have your formal vetting, like documentations in the banks and so forth. This is where the community leaders or the faith leaders works, because now this company partnered with the community leader and say, you have to vet for UTD, then tell us if we can give this to TD, and TD will be reliable. That's then the community leader comes and vet and give assurance to the company to say, yes, you can give your cylinder to Prof. Matibe, because Prof. Matibe, this is how I know them. And it has been showing good results. It's been paying off because now there's reliability and there's that shared value. There's also that integrity and trust that is happening between the community leader and the company, together with the person who's now renting out the cylinder and using it as a prepaid. And for me, as not only the faith leaders, but also the community leaders, it also brings back that, Jeanette, the morals, the values that we kind of shifted away from. Because if now we have to use the community leaders or the faith leaders to vet the people who may not be vetted informally, it brings that community, that co-creation, that shared value that we're looking for.
So that example of the network and the ecosystems as a vetting system, it's a great example of how rural entrepreneurial systems can work just as well, but just in a different way to some of the formal systems we
Yes.
have in business. I want to ask you about the role that partnerships between academia, business, and government should play in enabling these rural enterprise systems and success.
No single actor can build a thriving rural economy. And we're speaking ecosystem because we need these ecosystems to build this co-creative environment or business environment. And it really takes collaboration between academia, business, as you said, and I mean the government. When these three work together, they create what we call entrepreneurial ecosystem that we know. And again, how? The question is, what role should they play? They need to work together to not only, for instance, these three, when they work together, it shouldn't be about, again, going back to the question one, this is what we can do for you, but what is it that you also need that we can bring back, give and take between the three stakeholders with the community as well. So another example is here in Mpumalanga, one of the academic institution that is doing research in Mpumalanga. They partnered with the community. It's in the rural areas. The community in those villages, about 120 population that are surrounding. So what they do, they collect data for research. But they don't only collect data for research. How they give back to the community, partnering with business and the government, they provide training to the local communities. They give employment. They've hired the local communities as well. That means creating jobs for them, being able to alleviate poverty. If you think of the SDGs, SDG 1 and 2, they're contributing to that one. If you look thinking of SDG 8 as well, they're actually providing training and skills to be able to give decent work to the local communities. And that is what we're looking for in terms of partnership with academia, business, and government. And not only that, when this academic institution have events, what they do, again, they contract the local entrepreneurs to come and cater for them and do logistics and so forth. So it's all about the give and take, partnering academia, government and business with the local communities, the local entrepreneurs. And that kind of partnership we need more of, where academia generates evidence and business creates market pathways and the government support with their infrastructure and policy. When these pieces align, rural entrepreneurs become sustainable and inclusive. And that's what we're talking about when you say partnership.
I mean, ultimately, we do want those rural entrepreneurial ecosystems to be sustainable. But we always say this, the only constant is change. And we live in a world where change is increasingly rapid. And there are many challenges that these rural communities need to face. So what do you believe? What can they do to build sustainable businesses that remain resilient to social, economic, and even environmental challenges?
That's a good question. So they say resilience is the new currency of entrepreneurship. And sustainable rural enterprises are those that can adapt to social, economic, and environmental change. So first, adopting diversity income stream. So I started by saying resilience is the new currency, right? For entrepreneurs, rural enterprises are those that can adapt to social, to economic, and environmental change. For instance, your previous question asked me as to what partnership can do. And I mentioned that with this organization that I spoke about, partnership also create jobs for the local entrepreneurs. They co-create with the entrepreneurs to say, we've got the event, come in and cater for us. But the sustainability then comes when those businesses are not only relying on this one particular organization and wait for the event to come when then they can be able to function. But it's also to the training that this organization gives for them is able to take them outside and expand their borders and also cater for other businesses or other clients outside this particular organization. And I think we can go back to the Rwanda Pay As You Go, because the sustainability is not only in terms of the business now being able to increase their revenue, but it's also sustainability in terms of the livelihood. Now it means that the community no longer have to go and get the wood to make fire, but now the sustainability comes when now they're using clean energy to do the cooking, and also the circular thinking, because now it's reuse, reduce, and regenerate, because it's clean energy that they can use to make cooking and they stay healthy. You think of the social capital again, because partnership and the peer networks are buffer during this crisis, where you find that the businesses are partnering with the faith base, they are partnering with the community leaders. That also brings sustainability to say, we know that when we need to run business, we need to go to the communities. And now there's a kind of family and the unity, the Ubuntu that has been created within the local communities as well, because they know that if there's a business that's coming, we need to build a good relationship with our leaders. We need to be morally good. We need to have good values, because when the business comes, the community leaders or the faith leaders need to vet us. We need to be coming as responsible, as accountable for the leader to choose us or to kind of give credibility and allow us to get the opportunities. So sustainability comes from three ways in terms of the technology that's being used, the access to clean energy or access to the jobs that's been created, the environmental stewardship as well, and as well as the partnership from the business, the government, and the academia. So it's all within the ecosystem working together responsibly so.
The rural economy is a very important part of Africa's future. If through partnerships we can establish community-based knowledge and learning hubs, ensuring linkages to markets, but always co-creation at the heart, rural communities can use their local assets and innovation to power the economy, creating thriving, resilient entrepreneurial ecosystems that can create jobs and elevate communities. That was Professor Motsidisi Matibi of the Gordon Institute of Business Science.